Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. So we had a great word last week on maximizing your joy. So I hope that has remained in you this week, that joy has remained in you, and that you've come with some expectation today. So I've got a short message for today. And this is something that came into my spirit quite late in the week because I was with some young people this week, and we were kind of picking teams. We had a kind of an activity, and I was picked to go onto this team with these young people. And the young lad says, I want you, he says, because you're brainy and I don't have a brain. And I just laughed, you know. I says, no, of course you do have a brain. And but somewhere, you know, he's thinking, you know, well, you're the brainy one. And I was thinking to myself, well, actually, you don't only have a brain, but you can have the mind of Christ. Yeah, you can have the mind of Christ. So not only do you have this gray matter in your head, but you can actually think like Jesus. You know, and so this week I've been in schools a little bit, and what is obvious is that there's a lot of influence out there that is coming to bear on young people, and it's changing their mindsets and it's changing the way they approach life. And I was going to call this little message the influence of this age, but actually influence is nothing new. Influence has been around for centuries. And I suppose neither is the way influence is brought to bear on people. You know, in times past, influence would be backed up with intimidation. You know, it's like, so people are looking for influence and they'll back that up with deception or intimidation or whatever to try and change the way people think. And that creates a fear. And fear has been a major operator in determining the course of people's lives. And if your life is being steered by fear, then you need to break away from that fear because it's a dead end, and you need to get on a pathway of hope. And so, and then there's those that seek to influence from a position of humility and integrity, or your character and wisdom. And this is the type of influence that I believe that God blesses. That's the type of influence that God blesses. And he uses that kind of influence to bring change to others. Would you agree with that? So, you know, many times our eyes follow, our hearts follow what our eyes see and what our ears hear. And that's what our heart follows. And so we know the power of positive and negative influence. And so we also got to know the source of that influence. Okay, now if anyone here has been out in the bush, or you do outdoor stuff, and you've run out of water and you want to drink from a little mountain stream, then you know it always pays to think about what is further upstream before you start drinking the water, because there might be a sheep carcass or two or three further up. And you know, we're often unaware of what pollutes the water near the source. And so an influence is like that. There are influences that stream down into people's lives, and people are not aware of the source of the influence. And so what we do is, when we're out there, we either boil the water or we take water purification tablets and we purify the water before we drink it. It's a good idea. And so influences try to creep in. So sometimes you have to purify what's coming your way. But it's a better thing to drink from the river of life. Yes. Where the influence, where you're not being shaped by the influence of the world or your peers or your colleagues at work, but you're being shaped and you're being molded by Jesus Christ, by God himself, by his word. Amen. So this is a bit of a preach this morning, and I want to just say, if you're visiting, thanks for coming. You might not have heard this type of preaching much before, because sometimes we, you know, the Bible's full of stuff that is emphasized and it's reinforced all the time. Like, you know, we talk about Satan, our enemy. There's money. And various other things, but people don't like to sometimes talk about those things because they can offend people. But this morning we're just going to preach that we have an enemy, and we're going to be aware of the influence that he uses and the wiles that he uses to keep people trapped. All right, so stick with us. It's not hellfire and brimstone, but it's God's word. And God's word is truth, amen? You know, sometimes I hope you'll leave today knowing that, you know, the adversity that we face in life is not always just, you know, it's just something that happened. You know what I mean? It's like wrong place, wrong time. It was just a coincidence. I was just there and this happened. No, God's word tells us that there was someone called Lucifer who tried to usurp God's authority and sovereignty in heaven, and he was cast out of heaven, and along with a third of the angels, and you know, these angelic beings, they forsook their loyalty to God, and they gave up their love for him, and they were cast out along with Lucifer, with Satan, and so this is now the situation. These beings and Satan and his cohorts have a mandate to corrupt anything that God has created. It's to corrupt what is good and to turn it into something that is evil. Amen. Would you agree with that this morning? And so they just want to corrupt, and that includes you and me, because we are created beings. We're created in the image and likeness of Christ, and Satan would love nothing more than to have a full scale, a go at you and corrupt you. Amen. And so, and the thing is, he's very crafty, and he has a strategy to blind us to the eternal life that God has got for us. God's waiting for us. Amen. So, and that was secured by the blood of Jesus on the cross for us. That was secured it for us. A price was paid. And so Satan would try and corrupt us and keep us away from that cross, that symbol of life. Amen. So, amen. I want to read in Revelation 12 to you. Revelation 12, verse 7. It says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." He has a short time. So the devil is at work, and he's on a time limit, and he's going to wreak as much havoc and destruction as possible. Amen. And he's going to try and bring dividing devices into our lives. Amen. He wants us to feel separated from the love of God. He wants us to feel abandoned, left alone, on our own, defenseless, going through the problems and all the heartache of life. Satan would want us to feel like we feel all alone going through that, fending for ourselves. That's what he wants us to feel. You know, in 1957, Mother Teresa made this statement. She had written memoirs and journals, and many years later they came to light. And she wrote this in 1957. "I am told that God lives in me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul." And this is a woman whose spirit remained strong, and her charity and her love touched people, thousands and thousands of people. But she even experienced that distance. And we do sometimes experience that kind of distance, but I want to encourage you today. When we feel like that, and some of us this morning might be going through areas where we feel totally alone and defenseless, and God, where are you? I think you've left me. But it's a moment of opportunity for God's grace to take you forward and to lift you and to create, to have a turnaround situation, a victory situation. And so, you know, I want to encourage you that you can leave this season stronger than before. Amen. You can all of this heartache, you can leave this season stronger than before. You can be purged from a great weight of the burden that you've been carrying. Who carries burdens? We do. We all carry a burden. Sometimes it's like, oh man, I've carried this for years. And God wants us to be unburdened. He wants us to be unburdened, amen? He doesn't want us to be separated from the love of God. You know, to love and to be loved is one of the most satisfying and rewarding things in life, isn't it? To love and to have love in return. And it's such a rewarding existence to live in that environment. But you know what? There's a lot of people that are starved of that. They don't have that. They don't. And, you know, there's nothing quite like a love letter or something from someone close to you. Amen? There's nothing like that. Do you know how it makes you feel when one of your kids leave a wee note under your pillow or put it in your case or something? You know, and it just, your heart just jumps. You know, it's like, oh, man, they do love me, you know. They do love me after all. And it's like, you know, and the same, it's great for parents to remember that. Slip a note in the lunchbox, in the bag or something. Hey, son, I love you. You're going to do great today. You know, because that, when they know that, when they have that affirmation, the Satan can't lie to them. They are loved. And when we model the love of God the Father here on this earth, they're like, no, I can see, because Dad, you're a follower of, you know, you're a Christian, and this is the love you show. So God must love you like, yeah, son, God loves me like that, and he loves you like that too, you know? And so it's amazing. But some people have been robbed of that opportunity, and that's what Satan does. He comes and he just robs people of that. And so, you know, Satan can't come directly against God. And the Bible says that God takes pleasure in us. So what does Satan want to do? He wants to spoil God's pleasure a little bit, or a big bit. He says, if I can't get to you directly, I'm going to spoil your pleasure. I'm going to go for your creation. I'm going to spoil it, and I'm going to corrupt it. You know, it's like, you know what? Have you had this with people? You've seen it in your kids, right? You give that to him, right? He's playing with that just now. Okay, it's like, oh, okay, got it. So I'm going to do everything I can to make so that you have no fun. You might have the toy back, but you're going to have no fun with it. I'm going to create mayhem around you, you know. And it's like that, you know. And but, you know, we're children of the adoption. God's adopted us into his family, gives us that opportunity. He decided to adopt us. And if you go to Ephesians 1:5, it says there, just as God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. He predestined us to adoption. He predestined us. You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm your heavenly father. I'm your daddy. And you're welcome. Adopted. You know, I heard this a preach years ago, and I don't remember where it was, but for the first time I heard that adopted children have more rights than natural children. I was dumbstruck. How does that work? How would Nathan not have more rights than maybe a child that I would adopt? But for some reason, maybe it's in the constitution or the law or whatever, but they have more rights. So can you imagine you've been adopted into God's family? So you have even more rights. Yes, you do. You have more rights than the angels, you know. Ah, it's amazing. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, it says there, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. All right, here's the bit. Get ready, guys. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that are coming down the road, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We're more than conquerors. Nothing will separate us, neither death nor life, principalities or powers. You know? And, you know, if you read in the start of the book of Job, there's a couple of verses there that say the sons of God came to assemble before the Father. And Satan came amongst them. And God said to him, where have you come from? And he said, I've come from just going to and fro on the earth, walking backwards and forwards. Doing what? Okay, God didn't ask that. But that's what the word says, that he walks around, he prowls around seeking who he may devour. Who can I corrupt? Who can I separate from the love of God today? And so, if someone knows you, Joe, you could be the difference maker. It's like, I know that God loves me because I know Joe, you know? Yeah, because we do. We make a difference in people's lives. We bring that. We bring the message of faith, hope, and love to people. Amen? So can I get you to do a couple of little confessions after me this morning?
Yes.
Say this. God believes in me.
God believes in me.
And he can't be wrong.
That's right,
eh?
Everything I do
in obedience to God
is a weapon of mass destruction
to the devil's camp.
Amen.
Amen.
The devil
has no right of way
in my life
unless I give it to him.
Powerful.
He has no right of ways, no access, no authority unless you give it to him. Amen? Say this. God has a solution,
and a way of
escape
from every bad situation.
All I need to do
is
find it
and take it.
Amen?
Seek
him
prayerfully.
And he will give you the
answers.
He will give you the
strategy.
He will give you
the way out.
He will give
you the steps
to the next
level,
the
transition.
Amen?
Amen?
Repeat this one.
The thoughts
that I
deal with
and
the
situations
I face
are
not my
own.
I will not
take ownership
of
what originated
from
the devil.
What's
further upstream?
Yeah,
that's not,
it's,
you know what I'm
saying?
Don't take
ownership of
that. It's coming.
Don't
take ownership
of it.
It's not
yours.
Amen? Amen.
Don't
take ownership
of what
was,
or
what
originated
with him.
Take
your rights,
walk in
your rights, and
take
ownership
of
your inheritance
in
Christ
Jesus.
Amen?
The devil
was rendered powerless
through the cross
and
resurrection
of
Jesus Christ.
So I am
power-assisted.
God
is here to
help me
every
step
of the
way.
Amen?
Praise God.
He's here
to
help us
every step
of the
way. And so, you know, if we have God's abiding presence in our life, you know, that's last week when Fred was ministering the word, we were in John 15 for a long time. We're talking about abiding in the vine. That's so critical to all of these, all of the confessions that you made are incumbent upon us abiding in the vine, staying connected to the vine, because the vine provides the sap and the life, the juices that flow into our life, and that gives us the power to go on. Amen?
Amen.
So thanks be to God. And so, you know, sometimes we can get our focus onto the circumstances around us and the environment around us. And we sometimes just say, well, that's the facts, that's the reality of the situation. And that's not untrue. You know, the reality of the situation may be that, but what does God say about the situation? You know, so we've got to also do that. And not magnify our problems, but just keep, you've heard this one before, magnify God, because he's bigger than the problem. Magnify him, he's bigger than the problem. And, you know, one of the things that we've struggled with in life is that we sometimes don't do anything and hope it goes away. What a dummy. Yeah. Just don't deal with it. It'll go away eventually. You've got to confront situations using the word of God, using the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony to get these things out, because Satan is persistent and he's crafty and he's cunning and he's deceitful and he won't stop trying to corrupt things in your life. Amen. So I've got a few things here I'd like to go over. A few points. We'll see how far we get. Maybe just do half a dozen points. And so that we recognize the wiles of the enemy, the influences of the enemy. Do you think that would be a good thing?
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, we might say, yeah, well, we know all about the wiles of the enemy. But he does things more and more subtly. You know, and so sometimes you'll get something out of this, that this will inform you and pique your interest a little bit, so that you bring your focus back on to, oh, do you know what? I thought that was a good thing. You remember that book, Jim Collins, Good is the Enemy of Great, Good versus Great? You know, sometimes you think, oh, everything's fine, but there's still a better way. It seems good. The word says there is a way that seems right to a man. There's a way, what is, how does it go, Fred? Yeah, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. So sometimes that's why we need the Holy Spirit's discernment. Amen. So this is, has anyone heard of the Puritans? There were some great men, and these guys spent most of their ministry exposing the works of the devil. All right, they would bring, I suppose that's where their name came from. They were concerned with purity, and the fight of, you know, the good. They would like, this is wrong, this, recognize evil. And so they highlighted some devices of the enemy or influences of the enemy and some remedies. So do you want to hear them this morning? Amen. So anyway, let's see here. Let's first of all just read something here concerning, they were obviously very tuned into that spiritual warfare that goes on, and quoted a few scriptures here, and the first one is Genesis 3:1, okay? And we know that's when it talks about the serpent being more subtle and crafty than any living creature. And he goes and he tempts Eve, all right? He says, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. So he makes a suggestion in that passage of scripture to Eve that, oh, you know what? Don't worry. Is that really going to happen if you take that and you eat of the tree? So there was a suggestiveness there. He was suggesting that everything's going to be okay. You know, is God scared that you're going to become more wise than him, more powerful than him? You know, and so there was an usurping and undermining going on there, okay? In John 8:44, it says, you are of your father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the lusts and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar himself and the father of lies and all that is false. Okay, so Satan is a liar. He will, when he opens his mouth, he spouts forth lies into your life. Yeah? And sometimes he'll try and tell you, he'll try and convince you of it, so that something about you is a truth of yourself. And sometimes it may well be a truth. And he'll try and reinforce that to bring you down. Okay? So we'll go on to that later on. But don't be fooled. He's a liar. And many years ago, we did a business deal a long time ago with a company in the Middle East. And it was a tough deal. And it was a series of deals that started off with small amounts of value. And it was like, I'll buy this from you, I'll buy that from you. And we got it shipped over there. And then after doing four or five deals with this gentleman, actually, Linda and I, we showed him around Edinburgh Castle and everything. You know, and we were hospitable. We had and we thought there's a good business opening here. And then we had one deal, and it just made everything else look like monkey peanuts, you know. And it was like it was a big deal worth a lot of money. And so the deals were all done by a letter of credit. So we had to put all of the money out and ship all of the stuff. And then when the bank got all of the ship bill of ladings, then we would get paid. So we were, you know, sometimes you feel, God, you know, this is a lot of money. And what happened is the deal went south very badly. And there was a confrontation with this businessman. And I remember the conversation that Pastor Bernie was having. He's got a study in. He's worked from home for many years, and I could hear this heated discussion. And I could when he gets angry, I just stare. it's like things were escalating. I thought, oh, your dad's mad. You know what's going on? And this man said to him, he said, Bernie, he says, when you got into a business relationship with us, you should have known that in our culture we basically lie. He says and so this guy was boasting on the fact that was a business ethic or that they used, and we were kind of lured into a business relationship, and then when they've got your confidence, then they. But we were recompensed. God came through, and we managed to recover from the deal. And so, Satan is the father of lies, and we've got to be careful. People that operate in his kingdom lie also, because he's their father. Yeah. So 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But now I'm fearful lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Isn't that powerful? Even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced. The word seduced is powerful. It is a seduction to take you away from the things of God. The devil's going to try and complicate our life in so many ways. Business, relationships, partnerships, marriage, money issues. It's going to try and complicate our lives, bring issues into our lives, take us away from that pure devotion to Jesus. Amen. And one of these Puritan guys, a guy called Spurstow, he wrote this: "We ought to be much more watchful, since we have such a serpent to deal with that can hide his deadly poison with a beautiful and shining skin." That venom, the hatred is hidden by a nice exterior, shiny, beautiful, but behind it, he wants to destroy us. Amen? So here's device number one. Satan leads men from lesser sins to greater sins. People usually, if you take it as an analogy between a cold and the flu, oh, it's only a cold. It's only a cold. Now, the flu is serious, but this is just a sniffle. And sin is the same. Oh, it's just a wee sin. But Spurstow said that, Michael, you'll get this one. He said that sin is like a post that you use a primer, and that's the base for the colors to go on over the top of it. He says you start out with a priming post, and that really is just to, that's the little things that get you, you know, comfortable with sin, ready for some big slaps of paint to go on there, you know, big colors, you know, angry, red, black, you know, put it on there. And so what they were saying is that little things like little sins, they leech away our closeness to the Lord. They draw us away from a hatred of sin. And so that's those little things. So what is the remedy in this device one? What's the remedy? Ephesians 4:27. Take heed of giving place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Amen? Give no place. Give no place to the devil. If you let Satan's, the snake's head into your house, the rest will quickly follow. You guys are going to Swaziland. I hope you don't get none snakes there. But, you know, once they can get the head in, the rest just goes straight after. Amen? Nah, we're praying over you. It will all be well. Yeah. Device two, the devil persistently urges men to a particular sin. He urges men to a particular sin. In John 13:2, it says there, so it was during supper, Satan, having already put the thought of betraying Jesus into whose mind? Judas. He already put the thought of betraying Jesus into the heart of Judas. So he'll keep on pressing and pressing until men give in to the thought. And if anyone know the story of Samson and Delilah in Judges, actually, we should go there because there's actually, do you know the word pestered is in the Bible? Do you know that? If you go to Judges 16:6, it says, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. All right, guys, I don't want hands shooting up. That happens to me all the time. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words. The devil just will pester you and put thoughts there, and he'll keep on going, you know. Thank God for a beautiful wife. Beautiful wife, beautiful life. Beautiful wife, happy life. Happy wife, happy life. Isn't that what they say? Yeah. It's like this couple, they said, he said, okay, how are we going to deal with issues that arise in the marriage? So he says to his wife, he says, okay, if you get mad about anything, I just want you to get it off your chest straight away. Don't hold back. Can you just get it off your chest, get it out, and just say it? Okay, that's fine. So how are you going to deal with it? Well, when I get mad about something, I'm just going to go for a long walk. Just go for a long walk, and then everything will be fine. So then years later, someone asked the guy, well, so how is it you've got such a successful marriage? He says, well, you know, I've led mostly an outdoor life. It's like, the walk has been long. I keep on walking. It's the way to a happy marriage. So the devil persistently urges men to a particular sin. And so the remedy for that is to reject the promises of sin. Sin holds the promise of, wow, that's attractive. I could go for that. But we've got to reject the promises of sin. You know, what would you rather have? Peace with sin or war with the devil? I'd rather have war with the devil, not peace with sin. Yeah? The devil's war is better than the devil's peace. If you're an anti-confrontational person, you don't want to go to war. But war with the devil is better than peace with him. Amen? Amen? So, device number three, Satan makes a strategic retreat for a time to draw us out of our position of strength He permits us a momentary victory to swell our hearts with pride. So he's very cunning. He withdraw for a season. And that when Jesus went into the wilderness, what did Satan do? Satan came to try and plant that thought there, and then he withdrew. And then he came back, and then he withdrew, and then he came back, and then he withdrew. So Satan will come, and then he'll withdraw, and you'll think, ah, got the victory. Everything's going to be fine. So we got to not be fooled. The remedy, Christians in this world should not live like rich men in a king's court, but like soldiers in a camp of war. Amen. Always have that soldiering instinct there. Yeah? Because we can get caught up with the comforts of this world and the stuff and everything's going great and it's fantastic. The devil's leaving me alone. Yeah, he's leaving you alone because we're not doing anything. We're comfortable. He's like, that's cool, so I can go somewhere else. Remember, God's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Satan isn't. And so he has cohorts of demons that do his behest, okay? Device 4, Satan clothes evil with false appearances. So how could you put this? Oh, I'm a moderate kind of person. Really, you're lukewarm. So if we are, it's just everything in moderation, you know? Well, you're just lukewarm. Oh, I'm a frugal. I'm Scottish. I'm frugal. No, you're greedy. It's like, let's just call it what it is. You know what I mean? So it's like, call it what it is. And so that's, the devil tries to clothe evil with the appearance of something that's acceptable to other people, all right? And so how do we remedy that? We've got to love the truth. Because if the truth is the truth, then we are lukewarm, not moderate, okay? So let the truth be the truth. Amen? And truth is a jewel. It must never be traded or sold. Keep it. Device number 5. I think we'll finish with this one. Satan ensnares men with lawful things. A quiet stream will carry more boats over the falls than noisy rapids. So when it's all looks calm and quiet and you're heading to oblivion, you don't know what's coming. But if there was noise and tumult and chaos there, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So some things may appear lawful and okay, but they're not godly. And I think that's why, the word tells us to submit to authority, pray for our government. But if something is passed, a statute is passed that causes us to go against our God, then our priority is God. So even though it may be lawful, it may not be right. And so it may be lawful for the vast majority of the population, but that's maybe just a quiet stream with boats going off the edge. Yeah? So sometimes there doesn't appear to be much chaos. And we think it must be okay because everything's serene and it's calm. Because we look for chaos and we look, there's trouble there. But there can be trouble in places where you least expect it. Amen? So the remedy for that, he says that be careful of the things that may become a temptation to you. He says your heart's like gunpowder, so stay away from sparks. Your heart's like gunpowder, so stay away from sparks. And that's really what happens is that, you know, there's always something in the heart of man. Jesus knew it. He said in his word, he says, I can see exactly what's in you. I know exactly what's in the heart of man. And so that's something we need to protect. Yeah? What is that saying? a small spark kindles a big fire. So, yeah, we we nearly had a fire, didn't we? We were barbecuing on holiday, and there was these loungers with the foam lounger covers, and I'm barbecuing like this, and Rachel's going, "Dad, there's a fire." And the sparks had come out of the charcoal onto the lounger, and the lounger was on fire. And I didn't even know it was on fire. So thank God she was watching. Amen. So there's a few other things here that are very good, but we're not going to go on for much longer. I want to just read this scripture from the Message Bible in Romans 6:18. Remember earlier on I said sometimes Satan might say, well, you've got this sin in you, and this is, you know, and that may well be a true fact. You've got this issue or something, it's a habitual thing, or it's, and so you can't say, well, no, I don't, because he's saying, he's come and he's accused you of having this. But so, and he'll suggest to you, you can't be a true child of God if this sin or this issue remains in your life, okay? So this is the lie that he perpetuates. You can't really be a true child of God. Thank God for his forgiveness. But he'll try and say no because you've fallen now because of this issue. So in Romans 6:18 it says, so since we were out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. There are acts of freedom that destroy your freedom. Okay? Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. That's your last free act. Just offer yourself to it. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do, but thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thanks be to God. It's a horrible master. And true freedom and true liberty is just takes your heart, everything feels lighter, and you can live life with maximum joy, maximum potential, and you can go forward.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.